based on that reading, which actually came to me because I something happened to me, which I will tell you about in a bit later on, and I quite often open the Bible slightly at random when I feel life is throwing me a curveball, and this was the scripture that popped, and it then inspired me for this evening, which was good because I was looking for something to talk about. So it's called The Yeast in Our Daily Lives. But one of the nice things about preparing for a service like this is it prompts me to do some research. I'm a bit of a know-it-all. I like to know what I'm talking about, and I get a bit cross with myself if I'm not sort of on the ball with the information that I'm trying to give. And I had a vague understanding what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. I mean, we see them again and again being, against Jesus' teachings and trying to harness the crowds and tell them that what Jesus is telling them is incorrect. But I wasn't quite sure what the difference between them was, and so I decided to do a bit of digging. And there are clues in the New Testament. So in Matthew 22, verse 23, it says, "That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question." Okay, so the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. Got that. And then in Acts 23, verse 8, it says, "The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees believe in these things." Okay, so we're already beginning to lift the lid on what the difference is. But I must admit that was about the limit of my research, so I decided to go to a source, and isn't Googling wonderful? So I've got this fuller explanation, which comes courtesy of a website called Learn Religions, and I shall be reviewing that website because it's a very interesting resource. But I will read because I couldn't put it better myself. "The main difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees was their differing opinions on the supernatural aspects of religion. To put things simply, the Pharisees believed in the supernatural, angels, demons, heaven, hell, and so on, while the Sadducees did not. In this way, the Sadducees were largely secular in their practice of religion. They denied the idea of being resurrected from the grave after death. In fact, they denied any notion of any afterlife, which means they rejected the concepts of eternal blessing or eternal punishment. They believed that this life was all there is. The Sadducees also scoffed at the idea of spiritual beings such as angels and demons. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were much more invested in the religious aspects of their religion. They took the Old Testament scriptures literally, which meant they very much believed in angels and other spiritual beings, and they were completely invested in the promise of an afterlife for God's chosen people. The other large difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees was one of status or standing. Most of the Sadducees were aristocratic. They came from families of noble birth who were very well connected in the political landscape of their day. We might call them old money in modern terminology. Because of this, the Sadducees were typically well connected with the ruling authorities in the Roman government. They held a great deal of political power. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were more closely connected with the common people of the Jewish culture. They were typically merchants or business owners who had become wealthy enough to turn their attention to studying and interpreting the scriptures. So in our terminology, new money. Whereas the Sadducees had a lot of political power because of their connections with Rome, the Pharisees had a lot of power because of their influence over the masses of people in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas." So every day's a school day, isn't it? But I thought that was interesting because it's one of those things we talk about, Sadducees and Pharisees, and I wasn't entirely sure of the difference. So to go back to the scripture, Jesus warns the disciples to be wary of the yeast in the teachings of both the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So that means they both got it wrong, both groups. He puts it a little bit more strongly in Luke 12. He says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. That's pretty strong. And as I said before, we see again and again how Jesus is at odds with these two main influencing groups of his time. So what are our influences? Well, you could be quite smug and say, well, no Pharisees or Sadducees are around to tell us what to do or believe. And anyway, we've got Jesus and the Bible, so we're all right. Is that true? There are certainly many influencers, and I'm not talking about influencers with a capital I, like the ones you get on social media who tell you what to wear or what perfume and how to exercise. And I don't do social media, so they don't affect me, so I'm all right. I hope. I do read the newspaper. I do watch television news. I do listen to news on BBC. Look at it on my phone when my phone's working. It's not at the moment. But that's all factual, isn't it? So that's all right. You know, we're getting information. But don't be fooled. Everyone's got an agenda. Sometimes it's to sell advertising space. Sometimes it's to get a political point of view across. Even to promote certain political parties. Quite often it's to knock people down. And sometimes it's just very plainly to get money out of you. You know, it's very simple. So just as the Pharisees and the Sadducees were part of the fabric of life in Jesus' time, there are influences in our fabric of life. Like yeast, they are small, seemingly unimportant cells that multiply mightily given the right conditions. And like yeast, they can replace the life-giving oxygen with the deadly carbon dioxide of misdirection. So be on the guard. How can we protect ourselves? First of all, I think the whole thing is about being aware that all these influences are around us. I like to look at a news story from different viewpoints. And now that we've got internet, it's very easy to check it out on a different channel or different journalist, or even from a different country, which I quite often do. Especially if I read about Malawi, I always go and check the Malawi news channels to see whether it's true or how they look on it. So we have that luxury of being able to check things out from different angles. And then I think we have to shine a light on the thing from whatever piece of information it is by looking at it, how it sits with our values. And the classic acid test for us Christians is to look at how it sits within what the Bible teaches us. And I think that's very relevant, even in today's society. We also pray. We pray for understanding. And we pray that we're kept from all evil. But we ultimately have to be also our first line of defense ourselves. But we can seek help from others. We can seek like-minded people and hope that they will give us a little nudge if we're going in the wrong direction. So awareness, good judgment, and community with like-minded people. Sounds a lot like church, doesn't it? Anyway, these are our defenses. So I've got a little story which illustrates how some of these things influence us without us really knowing, and can lead us down, quite inadvertently, down a certain path. So a couple of weeks ago, my trusted fitness tracker stopped working. And my first reaction was one of dismay. How will I know how many steps I've taken? And all the other metrics it gives me, heart rate and all sorts of things. things that you may or may not want to know about. It's amazing what a little device like this can do. So I Googled it, and I tried various ways of getting it working again. I cleaned the electrodes on the back, and I went into the app on the phone to try and work out how to reset it, and nothing doing. So, deep breath, I put it down, and I put my trusted watch back on my wrist. Because ultimately, I kid myself that why I wear one of these is to tell the time. Actually, it's absolutely useless in sunlight if you try and tell the time in this thing. Anyway, so I put it to one side, put on my wristwatch, and started thinking about maybe I should go and buy another one, and I started looking at the cost of those. Yes, it's a while since I've had that one replaced. But the funny thing was, I actually also felt a sense of relief. Because this thing nags me. You haven't done 250 steps this hour. You haven't done 10,000 steps today. And just recently, and it must have been after some firmware upgrade or something, it started setting me cardio loads and asking me questions like, do you want to up your training? Hang on a minute, I'm not trying to run a marathon or climb up Mount Kilimanjaro. Why would I want to up my training? So, I put it down. And I found that not wearing it and not looking at the app on my phone all the time to figure out what my metrics were yesterday was really quite a relief. And I thought, I only started wearing this because I used to have a really active job and I knew that I was doing somewhere between 15 and 20,000 steps a day. So there was no point in wearing a fitness tracker. I was constantly up and downstairs, in and out of the facility and whatever. But once I retired, I thought, I'd better just watch that I don't become a couch potato. So that's why I got it. Well, my husband bought it for me for my birthday. Isn't that nice of him? But yes, imagine we have to be careful. Even the little devices we select for ourselves can influence how we live our lives. And that is why I found the passage about the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No such thing as randomly opening the Bible, I fear. So in today's world, we not only have the influences associated with print and broadcast, we have social media, and lo and behold, we now have artificial intelligence, which this actually is. And we need to be on our guard against the yeast of the teachings and information that do not serve us to walk with God. And that's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.